Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stone, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stone.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. If you've got a vehicle you're trying to get better fuel mileage out of, well, boy, let me tell you, go check out San Diego Carburetor and Fuel Injection. 6622 University Avenue. Stan is the man. Nobody can get better fuel mileage out of your vehicle than him. Go to sdcarb.com. SDCarb.com. Also, Black Forest Motorsports. You got a BMW, Porsche, or Mini Cooper? Nobody knows how to make them go quick better than Black Forest. They can do all your factory service. They can do modifications if you want to go racing, or if you just want to hang out with a bunch of guys that have been doing this for over 40 years. They're happy to chat. 8066 Engineer Road. Go to BlackForestAutomotive.com. Black Forest Automotive. Well, this is going to be a very special interview. I haven't talked to this young lady in quite some time. Sherry Kukla is on the line, and she has written a book from the Moto Mysteries group called The Skeleton and the Lantern. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
So you're also the publisher, you and your husband, of S&S Off-Road?
Yes, S&S Off-Road Magazine, and this year we branched out into publishing books. Moto Mysteries is the name of the series, and The Skeleton and the Lantern is book one in this series. It's geared for kids age 9 and up, but our Amazon reviewers are telling us that the adults are enjoying it as well.
Yeah, I just got it, so I haven't had a chance to read it, but once I read it, I'll probably get back to you and do it again. Now, you wrote this book?
Yes, I did. Actually, it's an idea that's been bouncing around in my head for the last 15 years. And on New Year's Eve this year, I set a goal that I was going to write the book this year. And so every night at 9 o'clock, I just cleared my schedule from anything else I was doing, and I wrote for an hour or two.
Okay, fiction or nonfiction?
It's fiction. And it is based on an authentic desert legend out in the Ocotillo Wells and Zabrego area about an 8-foot skeleton that wanders around with a lantern looking for a lost gold mine. He was a prospector who searched so long he died and kept searching. So the story is based off of that.
You know, I'm kind of a believer in things like that because you just never know. I guess before we go too much farther, have you seen the skeleton since you live in the desert?
I have not, but the kids in the book have.
Oh, my gosh, the kids in the book have. Well, I got a sneaky feeling this is going to be one of those books that once you start reading it, it's going to go quite quickly. And it's not a really big book. It's about 200 pages, 200.
Right.
And so it looks to me like it'd be a fairly easy read. And I noticed that the lettering is nice and big. So we want to thank you for that, for us older folks.
You're welcome.
So I'm really looking forward to doing this. And so how many books are you now, and I'm very impressed that you put a goal together and you fulfilled it. Took you 11 months, but you still knocked it out.
Yeah. Well, we got it written. It was finished in April, and then I had five people who were reading it to give me their feedback on it, and then we took like another month to do the editing. But I would say about a quarter of the way through it, probably long about February, I was ready to give up. And my first reader was actually my granddaughter. She was 12 at the time. And she was really encouraging. She had some really good feedback. I made some changes in the book based on some things that she said to me early on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was ready to give up, she just like would not let me. She goes, "No, you have to finish this. You have to finish this." So I actually dedicated the book to her. And it was really encouraging to hear, you know, her input, and helpful too. When I started it off, it was just from the perspective of a boy, and I'm not really sure what she said, but it gave me the idea to add another character. So we actually bounced back and forth. The chapters is the brother, then the next chapter is the sister, and back to the brother's perspective. And they're all real short chapters. So I think you're right. I think it is an easy read because you don't get overwhelmed by pages and pages of text, you know, on each chapter.
I know. Well, I love reading. I didn't like reading when I was a kid because they asked me to read things I could care less about. So I just, you know, typical, you know, junior high and high school kid, I revolted and said, I'm just not reading anything. Now I must read one or two books a month and I can't get enough. I brought the book, which I shouldn't have done, to radio, because now I'm staring at it, and during breaks I try to get in, I get through a page or two. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So The Skeleton and the Lantern is the first book. Are you going to try to do like one a year?
No, the next one's due out in the springtime. I told people. Yeah, and so that one also is based off of an authentic desert legend. In the book, the desert town that the people go to camp is called Drybrook. And so book two is called The Ghost Lights of Drybrook. And then the goal is for book three to be out in the fall of 2020, and that's called The Phantom Ship in the Desert.
Whoa. Now, I've heard rumors of The Phantom Ship in the Desert. That one, I've heard that one.
That's a pretty, I think, popular legend that's out there. And in fact, I think recently there's been a documentary and maybe some, you know, some other print material out about it. So we'll see what we can do. That'll be a little different twist on anything anybody's read before.
So it's a perfect time to be chatting about this book since Christmas is right around the corner. If people are interested in finding this book, how do they go about it?
Okay, there's two things they can do. The easiest they can do right now is go on Amazon.com and search for The Skeleton and the Lantern. It should pop up, should be one of the few things that comes up. They can order it off Amazon. They can order it as a print book, or they can read it on Kindle and also order that off of Amazon. Another way they can get it is for any of your listeners who are Ocotillo Wells fans and heading out here for Thanksgiving, which we live out here in the area that I was writing about. There's going to be a book signing hosted by the Ocotillo Wells RV Park and Store on Split Mountain Road. And we're doing that twice during the week of Thanksgiving. The first time is on Tuesday, November 26th. The second one will be Friday, November 29th, and this will be from 1 to 3 p.m. So they can pick up a copy of the book there. I can sign it for them to whoever, you know, whatever child or person that they want to give the book to so that it's personalized. And also they can get it at a discounted price. So we'll be having a sale at their store just during the book signing hours. So that's 1 to 3, November 26 and 29. And we have a free goodie bag for the first 25 who get their book signed. So they'll get some little goodies that go along with what the story's about.
A little bit of swag, as they say.
Yes, exactly. So you want to be one of the first ones to get here so you can get that.
So how many hundreds of thousands of dollars is this book cost?
Well, you know, when you, you mean for people to buy? Or
yeah, just to buy.
Okay. On Amazon right now, it's $10.99. It looks to me like the sale price of, and the Kindle is $2.99. The sale price we're looking at, we think it's going to be $7.99.
Oh,
so they
can,
you know, save $3 if they want to pick up 10 of them for their, you know, family members and friends who are in that age range. And what I like about it is if you have kids who don't really like to read, but they should be reading, but they like motorcycles, they like off-roading, well, this is right about, you know, what they like to do. And several of our reviewers on Amazon have been kids, and they've said that I like reading about the things that I do, you know, riding the motorcycles in the desert, and that's what happens here. These kids have dirt bikes, and they're out, you know, cruising around the desert and solving mysteries.
Yeah. No kidding. Like, or especially if you're out in the desert and you're spending the night, there's no television, there's no radio, per se. You could curl up around the fireplace or the fire pit and read a book.
Yes, that's great. In fact, somebody posted on our Facebook page, and we do have a Facebook page before the book. It's called Moto Mysteries, so you can just search that out on Facebook and like that, so you can stay in touch with what's going on. But somebody posted a comment on their grandparent that they sat around the campfire and read the book out loud, the adult and the children. And so, yeah, that's got to be kind of fun, especially if you're at the scene where the skeleton shows up at their campsite and you're in the desert actually reading it.
Oh, my
Probably
goodness.
Probably be looking over your shoulder.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking, too. Oh, my goodness. So, S&S Off-Road Magazine still available. You guys are still knocking that out.
Yes,
and you
we
can
are.
Pick that up at just about any bike store in San Diego.
It is at bike stores in San Diego. They can also go online, find out how to get a subscription. It's only $16 a year.
Oh, wow.
Get it mailed to your house, especially if you're not living right near a bike store. You're not going to get out every month.
Right.
You don't have to, you know, miss a copy.
I mean, it keeps you up to date on as to what's going on out in the desert and, you know, not only events, but also what's going on from a legal point of view. The state of California trying to close the desert down, and I know Off-Road Coalition supports you guys and all the rest of the groups that are working feverishly to keep that desert alive and well.
Exactly. In fact, the San Diego Off-Road Coalition runs their news in our magazine instead of publishing their own newsletter.
Perfect.
And so, yeah, they've got a lot of good news in there. And so we make the magazine informative about, you know, things that we aren't really wanting to hear about, you know, the threats to our sport,
sure,
but also entertaining. And then you can find the events, like you said. And then every month we have a reader feature, so the readers can take part and send in photos and be a part of it, you know, see themselves in the magazine. The kids can see it and take it to school. And so if you go on our website or you get on our email list, the website is ssorm.com. You can get on the email list and you'll get notified every month of what kind of pictures we're looking for. For instance, our December issue, which is just about completed, so we aren't accepting any more photos for that one, but the reader feature is called Stuck with an exclamation point. And we've got some really good pictures, you know, from side-by-sides to full brand new, you know, huge motorhomes stuck out in the desert in the mud somewhere. And so that's always an interesting feature to read. So every month it's a different theme.
You have too much fun.
It seems like it, yes.
It does. All right, well, hey, let's not be strangers.
Okay.
And we'll, you know, have you call in periodically and keep the people because, I mean, let's face it, the desert is so close. We need to get involved, and we all need to work together to keep it open.
Exactly, yes.
All right, kiddo.
Thank you, Dave.
Moto Mysteries, the skeleton and the lantern. If you think you can handle it, folks, go to Amazon and check it out. All right, take care, kid. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, hopefully Dirt Dude's going to call in from Barona and let us know what's happened. They had a two-day event, Friday and Saturday this week, last couple days. Should be interesting. Right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Good new, used, makes no difference. Did you know that 80% of their used cars are trade-ins? They don't go to the auction. They send cars to the auction that don't meet their criteria. And they support Barona Speedway. Barona Circle Track, right up there off of Wildcat Canyon Road. Go to baronaspeedway.com. Only about 4 miles north of the casino. And let me tell you what, it's the most fun you can ever have. But this last Friday and Saturday was pretty much the end of the season, but they're still going to have other events, and we'll have Dirt Dude calling in and telling us all about it. Right now he's on the line. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I got lost on your conversation you're having. And I looked down, I'm like, oh, man, I should be calling in, not listening.
That's why I text you. I went, hello, hello.
I know. I was like, I was doing my notes, paperwork, and that's such a cool story about, you know, I go out to Ocotillo Wells all the time. So I was like, oh, that's cool. And I got into it. And I'm like, next thing you know, oh, man, I'm running late now.
So how'd Friday, Saturday go?
It was pretty awesome. I mean, for a two-day show,
yeah,
the first time we'd done a two-day show, the weather Friday night was just phenomenal because it was like cold, wet, damp, and I tried something new. They blended some hay bales in with the dirt when they were doing the mixture on it, and then to keep the moisture in it.
Really?
And we started late after it was dark, so the track just stayed tacky the whole night. I mean, after all the racing we did, and we didn't do a really lot of racing that we normally do on it, so it really wasn't abused. But you could walk out of the track and you could feel like your shoes are still sticking to the track. So it was nice and tacky. It didn't roll up like, you know, like a blanket in the corners or anything like that. It didn't rut up, but you know, it's just really, really nice.
Where'd the idea using hay come from?
Something they've seen before. Other tracks used to use like hay or a lot of manure, like sheep manure or horse manure.
Right.
Because it's a good bonding or binding agent.
Right.
So you figure you have the straw in there. It basically, the dirt's not going to come apart once it starts to dry out. It's
right.
Something that it's kind of sticking to.
And it helps
keep the moisture in it.
I'd rather get hit in the helmet with a wad of hay than you know what.
Actually, what horse manure is, you know, is just recycled hay. So
you're not going to convince me. No, I'll take the hay in the face. Give me the hay in the face over the manure in the face. Trust me.
Yeah. But we had a lot of people come together on this project, and I really got to thank, you know, especially Troy, Salazar, Todd Salazar, Judy, and Trisha. This whole Salazar family did such a great job, you know, stepping up for this thing. Express Pipe and Supply was one of our biggest helpers throughout the season, and they had that cool guitar for our Pure Stock Enduro Race main event winner. We're bringing on a new sponsor maybe next year. Trust Me Vodka is looking at becoming a track sponsor here, and they helped us out for this Turkey Hustle Night. Victory Graphics is always with us. Sexton Fire Protection helped with our winged mini sprints, and they're a track sponsor. Pacific Island Beer Company, really cool place to go drink some beer and watch some racing. They kicked in with some great sponsorship and actually had goals game tickets for our winners from all of our divisions. Accurate Underground Grading, Mike from Accurate Underground was about there for the 3 or 4 days of doing the prep work to the track, and everything we did, he was out there running the blade and making sure our track was great. Coach Works RV and Fleet Collision Repair, JN Transport, Swift Powder Coating, and of course Troy Dirt. Dirt hauling, you know, it's just was a great group that we have out there. I don't know where to even start. Well, I mean, it's a featured main event for our winged mini sprints, which we're hoping to maybe start bringing them out and running them next year as a little more of a group. We actually had two guys come out, and they actually had main event winners for the first night. Chris Crowder came all the way from Colorado, and he got the main event win for the first night, followed by Brent Sexton, and then on the second night, Derek Homewood, he came all the way from Washington, like upper Washington, and he got the main event, and it was just cool because, like, I was talking to him after the win, and one of our friends, he was like going Facebook Live with it, and he's like, so I said, hey, you know, how's your track back home? He goes, well, tonight we're having our banquet, and the guy on the phone is like pointing at his phone. He's like, they're all watching you on the phone right now at the banquet. So he's like calling them all out. He's like, hey, you guys missed a great night. It was cool down here. 1500 to win. He won the trophy dash, the main event. Same thing with Chris Crowder. First night, trophy dash, main event. You know, and these guys are fast. And he's like calling out all his buddies, which are even fast. You're like, man, you could have came down here. We had a great night of running. So the winged mini sprint night was really cool, and they had some good tracks for both nights. We ran our modifieds. Matt Hicks he swept the weekend both nights in a modified. And in our dwarf cars, Michael DeBison won both nights. And John Isabella came in second both nights. So that was a good run for him. It was really good. Onto our Pure Stock main event. It was an enduro race. He ran 35, 30, and 35 laps. Gave him a break in between to get to put gas in the car, and they could change drivers if they're doing a driver change. Some of them were doing Ironman. And give him a chance, you know, just take a break, look at the car over, and switch switch drivers. They couldn't do any tire changes. They couldn't add any water. They couldn't do any service to the car other than fuel. So if they did service, they had to go to the back. It was pretty cool. I mean, we lost a couple of cars right off the bat. Nick Novak was one of my favorites probably to win. He blew a motor up probably on the first stage, towards the end of the first stage. Billy Baldwin, another guy that's really good out there, he blew a motor up. I actually had a lost oil pressure, so he just shut it off because it wasn't his car towards the end of the first one. And the guys just lost motors, and it just, you know, that's a lot, 100 laps to run in one time. But Nathan Dragan ended up being the Iron Man, and he led the whole thing once he got out in front, got halfway through the first stage. He led it, and then his buddy Jeff Grill was behind him the whole way. So, I mean, he came in second. So it was cool to do all that. And then all of us from the track sat down and had a nice time just hanging out for our last event. Mm-hmm. And Trisha is talking about, she's thinking about maybe opening the season next year, April 4th, I think, is she's hoping to do it like April 4th. So that's the kind of just where we might be starting the next season at. And what we're running, I have no clue. What we're doing, I have no clue. But it's about the time we're looking at maybe start our season again.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, it goes by so fast. But, man, I'll tell you. Hey, homework, go see Ford versus Ferrari.
I'm going to have to do that. I heard it's pretty good. Have you seen it yet, or have you just
twice.
Seen the previews or what?
Twice.
Huh?
Twice.
Twice? Is that good? You saw it twice.
I'm going, and I'm going Monday too. I'm going back Monday. I'm telling you, dude. I've watched.
Are you gonna get it when it comes out on DVD or something too?
Heck yeah! Heck yeah! Are you kidding? I mean, this is such. And I've read every book about the story, and it's about 90% right on the money. So if you're an enthusiast, or if you just like a good solid documentary. This is a great movie, and I didn't think...
It's not a bunch of Hollywood drama.
No,
it's actually off the whole story, the real kind of behind the
scenes. I know. I was not a Bales fan for this movie, nor was I a... what's his face? When he played Carroll Shelby.
Matt Damon.
I was not a fan. I'm sold. Go check it out.
Well, if you highly recommend it, I guess I'm going to have to go see it.
All right. You do that, buddy. All right, we're going
to... I have something to do in the off-season now.
Yeah, you do. You can actually relax and enjoy yourself. So you'll get you back out of the track. So check out BaronaSpeedway.com. You can always rent the track, and there's always something coming up throughout the year, so don't hesitate. Buddy, thank you very much for calling in, and I'll see if I can't get you a moto mystery book about the skeleton and the lantern.
Thanks, dude, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, guess who's on the line? The wild one is on the line, Brody Roa, and you'll be able to see the smile on radio when he calls in, right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1, AM 1170. The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris Road in Paris, California. Go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com. The new schedule is up. You'll be able to check out what's left of the season as far as racing goes. But we have got to go to Brody Roa. He is the champ. How you doing, Brody?
Good, Dave. How's it going?
You have got to be one happy camper.
Happy, relieved.
Yeah, relieved.
We're excited about it.
Well, you worked your you-know-what off all year, so kind of give the folks a little rundown of how your season went.
It wasn't easy, that's for sure. we fired off the year pretty good, like we have the last couple of years, and led the points both here at home with CRA, and then the Southwest Series. We're running two this year for points, and we got to about June and had a couple problems, and it's kind of snowballed on those. So we lost the CRA lead, but we hung on to the Southwest deal and ended up running a few different cars this year to make it happen. And finally, you know, we brought our 91R back out for this weekend in Arizona and sealed the deal and had a pretty good run last night to cap it off.
Wow, that's awesome. So you can thank Brandon for that. That's really, because I know how hard you work, and not just you, your whole team. Because, I mean, you couldn't do it by yourself. There's no way.
Yeah. I don't think anybody could. I got some good guys that stuck it out with me all year, and even all the moving around, not knowing what we're doing, and through all the struggles and frustrations, they were there. You know, one of my best friends, Zach, he's driving the truck home right now, and my other good buddy Joe and my dad, and we traveled around and made it happen and all this through all the struggles and feels good to get it done.
Well, and what a great bonding between your dad and you and your team and your friends and your sponsors. You know, and these are things that when you get my age, you'll look back and really appreciate the hard work, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the broken knuckles, the mechanical issues, the heat of the day. Trust me, it's interesting how you'll forget all the bad and you'll remember all the good.
Yeah. Hopefully we forget all the bad here pretty quick. But that last night definitely helped. So
yeah,
it's not much is better than getting accomplished what you're set out to do. Even it made it even that much more special what we went through. So
yeah. So how much work did you have to put in, or was it a pretty walk in the park last night?
I wouldn't call it a walk in the park. Arizona.
You never field. Have. You have never said it's a walk in the park.
It never is. I mean, these guys are racing. They're some of the best. So, and then to go to Arizona Speedway to finish this deal off, which isn't my best track, and then we were running against RJ Johnson for the Southwest title, and that's. He's won a lot of races around there and can really get around it. So we struggled a little bit Friday night. We were okay. And then we got tangled up in a crash on the feature and didn't finish. And so it really came down to it last night. And kind of struggled again in the heat race. Had to run the B. And in the B, we just wholesaled the car. So we got to try something here. And it worked. So we just built on that for the feature. And we started 22nd in the main last night, and jeez, on lap two, we were up to 12th. So, I got there, and I wish to a point we weren't really points racing, because I think we could have drove up, and got close to like a top five or something. If I was, but, I got there, I was like, all right, no mistakes at this point.
Yeah.
Settle in.
See, and you still wanted to win, even though all you needed to do is nail some points. That's, I love it. So I understand you got the hard charger award. Is that from coming from 22nd to 12th, or coming to winning the event?
Yeah, no, we went 22nd to 10th. So that's
10th, right.
We got the Steve LaFon and Wags jar of change. So that's a pretty cool deal that those guys do. They raised a lot of money for that. So
yeah,
great people too. So. That was a little more special, even on top of it.
So let me ask you this. Are you going to spend that $1,000 worth of change, or are you going to put that in your trophy box?
It's in two gallon jugs. I'm not sure what to do with it.
Well, you know what I would do? Put it in your trophy case, and when things get tight, use that as your bailout.
Well, we've needed a bailout here for a little while, so maybe it'll go good use.
You never. Hey, it may be good luck for you too. And then a bottle of Crown Royale. Well, I know you'll give that to the team, right?
Oh yeah, that's the last one we carry around with us, you know, for big wins. So that's what this one will do too.
I thought for sure it'd be gone by now, but at least you're gonna hang on to it for a little while.
No, it didn't get cracked up last night. We had some other stuff going on.
There you go. All right, so you're all done. We don't care anymore. What are you gonna do next year? Now we're moving on to 2020. You've already got your championships. Now let's get back to work. What's the plan?
There's not really a plan right now. you know, I don't know what we're gonna do with our stuff. We'll run it, you know, and maybe I'd like to run maybe some other cars and, you know, save our stuff for some races that we want to go run and, you know, not wear ourselves out like we did this year. And just go have fun, you know. You'll chase some wins and, you know, be competitive and try to do again next year what we did this year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just giving you a hard time because, I mean, you haven't even had a chance to take a breath, take a shower, or even, you know, kind of absorb, you know, 2019. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's, I've had we've been on the road about 7 hours now, so I've had that long to think about it, so.
Come on, you got a chauffeur. You don't even have to do anything. You just sit back, got your feet up. You're doing good.
Oh, yeah. I took a little nap. Yeah, we're in good shape.
Yeah. Hey, go see Ford versus Ferrari. I know it's not your form of racing, but you got to go see it.
Yeah. Hey, all racing's good racing, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, no doubt about it. I've actually seen it twice, and I'm going to go see it again Monday. That's how good it is.
That must be good.
Yeah, I know. So I say this to you all the time. Now that you've got a championship, you almost have no excuse for all your sponsors to come to KUSI-TV.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll plan something out. We'll get this thing cleaned up for this weekend.
Hey, make a trip. You don't even have to clean it if you want to leave the mud, the dirt, and the grime in the grid. That's perfectly okay with me. But I'm booking December, so when I get home, I'll take a look at a schedule, you know, get you in on the weekend, not during the week, and we'll let everybody know you're going to be coming in, and I think it'll be huge. And what's the trophy look like? Is it a big one?
We got some champagne bottles and hats.
Oh, there you go. What more do you want, right?
Yeah, and another USAC championship banner to hang up in the shop. So
that's
about all we need.
How many have you got now?
This is our second.
Wow.
We had that 360 championship a couple years ago, so this is our second sprint car. Our championship.
So have you got a spot all picked out?
Yeah, they hang from the ceiling in the shop.
There you go.
We'll go right next to the other one.
That's awesome, man. I'm telling you, I can't be, you know, it really makes it neat from my point of view, you know, interviewing you as many times as I do throughout the year and following your career. And I love, you know, seeing people that we support, you know, do as well as you're doing. And I really can't thank you enough because I know it's not easy. I mean, racing's one thing, but, you know, to take time out of your weekend to call in and, you know, and that's the other part of why you're as good as what you do, not only on the track, but off the track. And I can say that with all sincerity.
Well, I appreciate that. No, I'm happy to come on. I'm glad you're doing this and glad I can be a part of it.
Yeah, you know, buddy, anything I can do to help, I am absolutely here for you. All right, well, I'm going to let you go. Go ahead and lay back down, take another nap, and we'll chat with you down the road for sure, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Norm DeWitt is going to call in. I'd be interesting to hear what his perspective is at the end of a racing season. And maybe he's watched Ford versus Ferrari. I don't know. We'll find out when we come back. FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer.
But I want to know for sure. Come on. come on, hold me tight. I love you.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. Certified Car Clinic sponsors this segment, 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Whether it's your everyday driver, your off-road buggy, or a race car, the guys at Certified Car Clinic can take care of all of that for you. And if you want that underhood treatment with braided lines, they do that as well. Hose Specialties, Trick Plumbing. Go to hosespecialties.com. All right, got my good buddy, Mr. Norm DeWitt, on the line. Haven't talked to him in a while. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Season's almost over.
Yeah, I was just going to say, season's kind of over. It's kind of waning away. But I guess the big question, have you been to see Ford versus Ferrari yet?
No, I'm almost, I'm afraid I'm going to start probably throwing popcorn at the screen.
You know, I don't think you will. I've been twice. I went regular theater, then I went IMAX theater. I've read probably everything there is to read about it. There are some, it's like anything with a movie. You can only get so much in couple hours, but I thought they did a very good job of it. Come on, just take it.
I've heard the special effects and things like that are pretty amazing. I'm not buying that Ken Miles was absolutely anything like the characterization in the movie.
Well, see, you would be somebody that could say whether he is or he isn't.
Well, I was a kid in those days, but I had a lot of friends who were very good friends with him. He's just, everybody just kind of says, Ken and Shelby having fist fights. That would happen in a million years. So it's the usual Hollywoodization of things, but no question. And I don't think Enzo Ferrari was at Le Mans at any time in the 60s. I think the only place he ever showed up was Monza practice for the Italian Grand Prix once a year.
True.
There's just so many things that are just like, well, that's not right. Well, that's not right. So it just drives the historian side of me nuts. But I'm sure it's a really entertaining show, and I hear the special effects are phenomenal. The racing scenes are probably second to none, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you because, like I said, I've read enough articles and books and everything so that, I can – there's things that are – but from a person – like I took my wife and her girlfriend – who are not gearheads at all, and they absolutely walked away loving the movie. So I figured, okay, it's a positive movie for that. Ford Inc. didn't like it at all with the way Henry Ford was portrayed and Leo Beebe. I get it, even though they were not the nicest people on the planet. But I get it. I get it. There were some things that were not historically correct, but it's a pretty entertaining movie.
I'm going to go see it in a couple of days, but it's at the same time, like I said, there's going to be times I'm just going to be just kind of gritting my teeth or closing my eyes, but it's anything that brings more racing exposure to the general public. And, I was afraid it was going to be like Driven, which was Sylvester Stallone's unfortunate attempt at making a movie about Kart.
I didn't go to that one.
Bless you, sir. You were.
I mean, there was no way Sylvester Stallone. No, there's just no way.
Yeah, it didn't work. It was, and it's so sad that, it was 50 years ago when there was these great movies like Grand Prix admittedly, Steve McQueen's Le Mans leaves a lot on the floor as far as plot development, but the racing sequences were the most legitimate and amazing of any racing movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
So, but hey, it's the end of the season.
Yeah. Now what are you going to do?
Well, there's still one more Formula One race, but I just had my surgery on my left shoulder and reconnected a bicep tendon and put a rotator cuff back in place. So that way, come Long Beach and MotoGP at Circuit of the Americas, I'll be able to hoist a camera again and shoot from the corners. So just, the usual off-season chassis rebuild.
Yeah. So you just had the surgery, so you're probably not on the men's as yet.
I'm about 2.5 weeks after surgery right now, so I'm doing okay.
Yeah, it's feeling better. I mean, because you'll know whether it worked or not.
Well, apparently it was a success, but it's the usual off-season rebuild. Last year it was a titanium hip. This year it put my shoulder back together. You know, I'm at that age now where I beat myself up and I end up having to be surgically reattached as opposed to just, recover.
So you're going
to
be the bionic. You're the bionic man here by the end of the year.
Yeah, but, today, how about Joe Gibbs Racing?
Jeez.
Kurt Busch is the champion, and they got 3 of the 4 cars that were in the last race in the Hunt and NASCAR, and after losing J.D. Gibbs early in the season, to then come back and break the record for the most successful team in the history of NASCAR for number of wins in a season. It's, there's a certain degree of that's appropriate. So kudos to Joe Gibbs and his operation.
Right. Whether you like Kyle Busch or not, it has nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Can drive.
Yeah. I mean, there was some ridiculous things that happened in the race, but, we all make mistakes under pressure, and there was a couple of those, to be sure.
Yeah.
But, they put the right side tires on the left side of Truex. I'm Martin Truex, and then they put too much tape on the radiator and overheated Hamlin, and so there was mistakes were made.
Yeah,
but in the end, they're the champions. Wow. So,
yeah, and that's
Formula One.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see the Formula One? Do you watch the Brazilian Grand Prix at all?
It's taped. But you're more than welcome. No, go right ahead.
I'm
problem.
I'm not going to tell you what happened in the end, but I will tell you that if you're a Ferrari fan, you're going to be throwing stuff at the television because they managed to run into each other.
No.
I was texting my friends in real time as it was happening that are in the Tifosi saying, please don't jump off the bridge. Don't do it.
Enzo Ferrari's flipping in his grave is what you're saying.
He's spinning like a superconductor today. I can tell you that. It was just unbelievable. So,
How does it affect their run for the championship?
The championship's over. Champion is Hamilton.
Yeah, Lewis, what am I thinking? Dor. Yeah,
this last two races is more just to, show what you got. But we've got ourselves a pretty good racing series right now in F1. I'm not crazy about the hybrid power plants and all that, but I have to say, between Red Bull, Ferrari, and Mercedes, it's getting to be like flip a coin on any given day. So that's better than it's been a lot of times.
Yeah, because it was pretty one-sided before. But I'd like to see a few more, manufacturers, make it just a little bit more challenging outside of Ferrari and Mercedes.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to give away the store. I will say this. Carlos Sainz Jr., his father was the great rally champion from Spain.
Yeah.
He started last on the grid because his car wouldn't work right for qualifying. I mean, it literally wouldn't run.
Really?
And so they put in, they had to start last, and he finished third.
Whoa!
So how about that for McLaren Renault, which is a long ways from the sharpest knife in the sharpest blade in the collection to be able to go out and go from last to third.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah. Watch your repeat of the Brazilian Grand Prix and enjoy it.
Oh, you know I will. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. So how about MotoGP? Has that been finalized yet?
Today was the last race, and it was on in the middle of the night, so I'm going to watch the replay in about half an hour on the television. But it's been the Mark Marquez show. I mean, there's been some flashes of brilliance by Quartararo, and I would like to, it's just unbelievable the records that Mark Marquez is setting. It's his 6th MotoGP World Championship, and the guy is 26 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
I think there was one race all year, which I was at in Austin, where he didn't finish either first or second.
Wow. That's amazing.
Today accepted. And it's like a 20-race schedule. So that's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Mark is that good. And I'd like to say, congratulations to Jorge Lorenzo on his retirement the great Spanish three-time MotoGP world champion, is still the only person to have actually beaten Marc Marquez in a MotoGP season.
So he's hanging it up, huh?
Jorge hung it up today. Today was his last race.
How old is Jorge?
I think Jorge's about 30, 31 maybe, something like that.
Isn't that still a little young to be hanging up your helmet?
In MotoGP, I mean, normally most of these guys tend to bow out after about 15 seasons of 125, like Moto3, Moto2, and then MotoGP. And there are exceptions like Valentino Rossi, who is eternal.
Yeah, no
kidding. 40 years old right now, and he actually led the Grand Prix in Phillip Island, and he has been right up there. The Yamaha is probably the best bike on the grid at the moment, and he's been up there with Quartararo and Vinales, who are the other top guys on the Yamahas. And Rossi's been right in there. I mean, the guy is amazing for being 40 years old.
Wow. Making the boys nervous, I'll bet.
And he led a MotoGP, and it was his, I don't know, it was something like his 400th race or something.
My
and gosh. I mean, the numbers on Rossi are just absurd. I mean, admittedly, it's looking like Marc Marquez may shatter some of those records that Rossi had set. But, I mean, we're in the presence of greatness.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people don't follow MotoGP, and if you really want to see the fastest art form on the planet, you need to watch MotoGP.
The most incredible racers. And you know, in a lot of these races, it'll come down to the last lap, and they'll be passing each other two, three, four times on the last lap.
My God.
Show me a type of motorsport where that's true, other than MotoGP.
Yeah, it'll make you sit on the edge of your chair and quiver. It's
scary to watch.
And I know.
Marquez, he is the guy. He's got such God-given talents that he'll go into a corner and he'll lose the front,
yep,
and the bike will literally drop onto its side, and he will push it back up with his elbow and his knee and catch it.
Yeah, I know. The guy is a wizard. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, he's once in a generation, if not once in a lifetime talent.
Yeah, I totally agree. Norm, it is always so great to talk to you. I appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday to chat with us. Now, go curl up on the couch and put your Grand Prix hat on and have some fun. Oh, your MotoGP.
Watch the last MotoGP of the season.
Yeah, don't be crying now.
I never do.
All right, buddy, we're going to get you back on again. I love having you on. You're the best.
Okay, keep making it faster.
You got it. That's right. And that book is available where?
Everywhere. Making It Faster and Making It Faster Too.
That's right, folks. Go get that book. I guarantee you, you'll love it. Thanks, buddy. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but guess what? Gun Sports Radio is coming up. Not 1 hour, 2 hours. That's right. We are that good. FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer.
Racer Radio on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Love Radio Network.